Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 46 years the Jews had worked on the temple in Jerusalem, and they were proud of it too. If you've ever seen the models, then you know it was a beautiful structure. Parts of it stand to this day and can be seen from space. And not only were the people proud of the building complex, the temple was the center of their religion. It was the place where they practiced the law. Sacrifices were offered, God was appeased, and everybody was happy. It was a neat arrangement they had going there. And then Jesus showed up and showed out. To say he was mad is quite the understatement. He was violently angry. So angry, in fact, that he was physical. Can you imagine what a spectacle that must have been? Tables flying, cows and sheep running all over the place, doves flying away as coins rolled across the portico, and right in the middle was Jesus, meek and mild, wielding a chaos-creating whip over and over and over. Now, the source of Jesus' anger has been debated. Some theologians claim Jesus was livid because the money changers were using the temple as an opportunity to make money. They go on to argue that commerce is bad, and the reason Jesus was so mad is he was a Marxist before Karl Marx dreamed up Marxism. According to them, stuff should be communally shared, not bought and sold for profit. Other theologians argue insincerity was the issue. The people were just going through the motions by buying impersonal animals for which they didn't work, choosing convenience over true repentance. Neither of those theories is the reason that Jesus was mad, and I know this because of what Jesus said. Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace, he said. Now, if you trace the word marketplace back into the Old Testament, it is the word used for the Canaanites. They were the merchant traders who occupied the promised land, blocking the Israelites from entering into it. And perhaps you will recall that in an act of divine genocide, God commanded the Israelites to totally annihilate these people, to include their farm animals. And why would God do such a thing? Well, it wasn't because these people were merchants and traders, no. The problem was the Canaanites were idolaters, worshiping false gods that could not forgive sin or save from death and the devil. They had misplaced faith. Now, perhaps Jesus' actions in the temple are becoming clearer. Though commanded by God's law to sacrifice cows, sheep, doves, even the temple itself did not save. The law, God's law, offered a false faith. And if you want to get Jesus mad, just have faith in anything other than the one true God. Jesus was angry because the people forgot the promise of the coming Savior and they worshiped the law instead. So, Jesus was putting an end to the law and replacing it with something new. And his actions were not lost on the people there. They knew perfectly well what he was doing. What sign can you show us for doing this, they ask. Said another way, with what are you replacing God's law? And to their question, he replied, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Said another way, I am replacing the law. And all the people praised God in the highest heaven, shouting, we believe, said no one ever. No, they scoffed, and in so doing made Jesus's point. The temple was filled with idolaters, trusting in things that do not save. And what do idolaters do when God invades their world, turns over their tables, and destroys their idols? Well, they destroy him, nail him to a cross, hang him there until dead, put his body in a tomb, roll a giant stone over the entrance, and get on with the business of trusting what everyone thinks will help with sin, death, and the devil. Except, idolaters do not have the last word. 3 days later, the one they destroyed was back, raised from the dead. And not only was he resurrected, the guy just wouldn't shut up. He zealously proclaimed, "Peace be with you," to his betrayers of all people. And even now, he's still running his mouth, destroying idols, and giving true faith and trust in himself, the only one who can save. Well, you've already confessed that you've sinned against God and neighbor in thought, word, and deed, meaning your idol stares back at you from the mirror every day. That's right. We are our own idol. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ has sent me to you with a promise. And that's why I say to you that you are forgiven unconditionally by the Father for the sake of Christ. There, your sacrificial animals are gone. Your tables are overturned. Your coins are scattered. Your idols destroyed. But what of it? The gospel promise of the risen Christ has replaced them all. And it's for you. Amen.